Previously on Spellcheck. The five of you are in the Fortress of Reform. It's one of the highest security prisons in Palatine. Another boom just absolutely shakes the room like a rug. And then the far wall explodes. And then a sound like screeching metal just splits the air. The dragon has been banished. It's gone. Everybody stand down. All of you recognize Lord Rockwell. The first sense that you get is that he is not someone to be fucked with at all. You are very obviously prisoners, but you've saved my life. You each know what you've been charged with. Bring me back five prisoners guilty of the same crime, and I will consider your debt to justice repaid. I have your first mark. His name is Menlo. So you guys arrive outside the Copper Plate. I can tell you this. His family's cut him off. His family's cut all of them off.
Corrin's gonna attack the knob.
You knock the knob out of the door.
Did we just walk into an exotic animal fighting ring?
Yeah, you sure did. You can very clearly see Menlo, who is waiting for you very unhappily. And something seems to sort of react in the cage behind him. And out flies a blue dragon wormling. It circles the room once more, screaming, then blasts a hole through the roof and flies into the sky. You see a much, much larger shadow of the other blue dragon meeting up with a wormling and then taking off.
Yeah, I'm just going to attack him, but non-lethally. I'm just going to, like, slash him.
You're going to non-lethally stab
sweep
him.
Sweep the leg.
Yeah, I'm just going to stab him, just lightly.
Okay, he is unconscious. You guys are summoned to Lord Rockwell's office. You did better than I expected, and you did worse than I expected. You brought in the prisoner. You left two bodies. I've given you another chance, but the first thing you did was go out and kill people. I am going to restrict you to the Fortress of Reform.
Is it secretly all of our dads?
So, yeah, it has been a couple weeks since you brought in your last mark, or your first and last mark. And that was one of three dwarven brothers who was initially charged with just being a rowdy boy in a bar, but it turns out he and his brothers were running a secret exotic animal smuggling and fighting ring. Lord Rockwell was pleased that you took down a crime that was significantly larger than, or criminal, significantly more weighty than he thought. He was displeased that you did murder two other dwarves at the same time.
Semantics.
If it was in self-defense, I feel like manslaughter is the most he could charge.
I'm sorry, did you accidentally cleave him in two? Was it unintentional?
I know the hammer. How could I possibly cleave anyone in two?
Oh, okay,
I mean,
sorry.
With a hammer, cleaving probably was an accident.
That's true, exactly.
But he was cleft into.
There we go.
Cloven.
Cloven, exactly.
Is it obvious we all work with words?
Yeah, right? I was just thinking, like, I know that, like, this is all about being authors and having a podcast called Spellcheck, and yet, we're getting real fucking nerdy. So, yeah. It's been a couple weeks. You guys have all been kind of cooped up in the Fortress of Reform, which is still the most, like, tight-ass name I can possibly imagine. And it is about as exciting as the name would imply. You're still in a prison, but, like, you guys have been able to sort of, I wouldn't say mingle with the guards, because the guards are super suspicious of y'all. but you know, you've been able to sort of wander around and like maybe play sardines or something to a limited degree. After a couple weeks, Lord Rockwell has called you all to his office, and he has a lead.
Oh, is it another PowerPoint?
Yes, it is absolutely another PowerPoint.
Oh, so, Lord.
Marcel is thrilled.
So it's when you guys walk into his office, like, it's almost identical to the how it was, you know, 2 weeks ago, except for the pen is an inch closer to the edge of the desk, and that's about it. Oh no, there's another one of those gray tapestries that he used earlier as his magic PowerPoint, and it's already sort of spread out to cover the wall behind him. And he, I'm trying to decide if he would actually give you guys chairs or not. I think he would just rather have you guys stand for this. He's still got his chair. He sees you guys being led into the room and says, "Hello, welcome. Please come in."
Alira walks in, and then she notices there is no chairs, so she just, like, plops down onto the floor, and she just sits down.
Lord Rockwell clears his throat very loudly.
Nina wanders in afterwards, sort of glances around. Is there any other furniture in the room?
There are, like, some bookcases, and there's his desk.
She will simply settle against the wall in a tilt.
Excellent.
Marzell's going to stand near the bookshelves and try not to look at them while trying to pay attention to Rockwell, and it's not going to work.
I can tell you right now, they're full of books on, like, just tomes and tomes and tomes of law books. It's just all Palatinian law. There's a couple of, like, Bibles of Tyr, which are, like, books that are, like, theologies of his god, but that's about it.
Start writing law fan fiction is what Marcel does in her time. Okay.
Corin walks in and notices that the quill is slightly off, and he turns. Oh shit, what's his name?
Rockwell?
Yes, Rockwell, there we are. Sorry. He turns to Rockwell and says, "Is this a test? Do we have to see what the other differences are?"
Lord Rockwell looks at you very dubiously and says, What is your intelligence modifier again?
-1.
You're very perceptive for someone with a -1 intelligence.
Well, perception is a wisdom-based skill.
And what's that modifier?
Marcel's gonna look around like, are we on another plane?
So,
yeah. Clearly, the quill is a plot point since you made sure to point it out to us. So I'm just going along. I'm rolling with the punches.
No one's just going to sit down next to Illyria. Maybe a little too close.
Oh,
Illyria definitely side-eyed, but okay.
Lord Rockwell says, please stand. This is not a kindergarten, and you need to be able to see it.
What's a kindergarten?
Did you teach kindergarten?
Definitely have not taught kindergarten. This is not a place for children. Please stand. This is a place for the law.
The law can't sit down. Nolan begrudgingly stands up.
The law never rests.
Have you ever seen Lady Liberty sit down?
Illyria just makes the most excruciatingly slow get up of her entire life. She's like so slow, she takes literally 5 minutes to get up. And she's very tiny, so it takes a long time.
He waits. Once everybody's standing, he says, "I have a lead for you on a criminal that you can collect. And I think this may be beyond your capabilities, so try not to be too disappointed if you cannot bring him in. But we have a chance with this one that we probably won't see again." And he reaches into a drawer and pulls out a little bottle and sets it on the desk. The bottle's about, like, I'd say 6 inches high. It's glass. And inside you see a tiny figure that appears to be sleeping. It is a wiry kind of medium height orc, or he would be a medium height. He looks like about a medium build. He's very, very small height currently. He's got a pair of pince-nez, and he has very distinguished mutton chops. And he has dark hair that's gone silver near his temples. It's pulled back in a braid, and he has a very nice waistcoat. Like, if you were to describe him, he'd be very much business orc. And he is very tiny and very asleep. And
oh, so cute!
Lord Rockwell says, there is a thief, and his name is Felix Tidling. He's a man from the Cross. We imprisoned him about a year ago. His modus operandi is to abduct wealthy men and store them temporarily in a bottle, as you can see. And then he impersonates them by taking on their appearance and exploits their resources to perform some unseemly and extravagant crimes. Some of these include replacing the Koshinian crown jewels with rock candy during a birthday party. At one point, he used a man's family fortune to... in fact, it was an entire dwarven family's fortune. He bought three enormous yachts and hired a muralist to paint himself, riding two dragons at once on the sides of each. And
nice.
Yes, he has... he's done very strange things with this, with the money that he steals. And then once he's done, he releases his mark, but only after he's made a clean escape. And he has done many things that are much less humorous, but they have devastated the finances of some very upstanding families. Frankly, when he escaped, I thought we'd never see him again. But we have a lead, and that is this man. And he points to the orc, and he says, "This is a merchant named Heffler. He is considerably wealthy. He's not from." This town. He's not from Melior. He was found in the back alley behind the copper plate by the bartender in what looked like a secret stash that she just found behind some crates, along with several copies of what looked like attempted forgeries of his license to sell antiquities. We've never had a lead quite this good before. We know who he's impersonating. We have an idea of what he's going to attempt to acquire, or at least the field. And he, at this point, doesn't know that we know these things. So we have the opportunity to bring him in. And so if you five can figure out what he's in town, or what Heffler was in town for, what brought him to town, and why, what it has to do with this antiquities dealing license, you may be able to track down and apprehend Felix before he strikes. Any questions?
Marzell raises her hand.
Yes.
Several questions.
Yes.
Do we know where Heffler was staying, and if he brought anyone with him?
Let me check my notes. I'm going to double check, but, yeah, as far as we know, he was staying at the copper plate. He did not bring anyone with him.
How do we know he hasn't gone back to the stash, realized that it's gone?
We left a very credible trap there. And so if he attempts to revisit that place, he will be apprehended. That said, it looked like it hadn't been disturbed in a while, like in at least a day or two. And the forgeries of this license look like they were practice for the real thing. So it doesn't seem like it's something he's going to need to come back to until he's made his move.
And what do we know about Heffler's personality or manner of speaking?
He's from out of town, so we don't know much. Any intelligence that we have on him is just that he seems to be an upright and relatively unremarkable merchant, but he does command a considerable amount of wealth because he does have a reputation for acquiring significant antiques, and that is a significant part of his business is dealing in items that may be of some use or some intrigue to fairly moneyed parties.
Do we know how this Felix person does whatever it is he does to look like other people?
From the best that we've been able to tell, it's just an extremely good disguise kit with a combination of some magic.
Okay. Magic.
May I see him? Hefner. Lur. Marzell asks. She sort of gestures for the vial.
Lord Rockwell says, yes, but you can't cast anything on this. We haven't come across someone who's been actively bottled before, so we don't know if there are traps built into this. We don't know. We will need to force Felix to unenchant this man once he's taken back into custody.
That's fine. I just want to look at him.
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
So Marzell would just like to sort of observe Hefler as a person and also try to learn anything about him from what he's wearing.
He's got a very nice, waistcoat. You can guess from, the fact that he needs reading glasses, which are pince-nez, that he does quite a lot of, accounting work, I guess. Like, that would be, like, you know, some reasonable conclusions to draw. If you want to roll, perception or investigation, I can see if I can give you a couple other leads.
Yes. We'll do this thing.
Yeah.
Corin taps on the bottle.
Nothing happens.
Marzell sort of pulls it away, what are you... Why would you... He's not a fish.
How do you feed him?
He doesn't seem to need food. None of his... none of Felix's marks have ever been... have ever died or seem to be in poor health. It's just simply as if they went to sleep. They report, simply falling asleep and then waking up once they've been released from the bottle.
Have any of them been elves? Marzell asks.
That's actually a good question.
Nina arches an eyebrow at that question.
Yeah.
Also, Marzell rolled a 15 investigation.
Okay. Gosh, I'm going to have to improv that one. Okay, so as far as...
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. So as far as the... as far as his victims, they range across different races of the world. That said, he certainly hasn't managed to strike, as far as I know, in the actual elvish territories. He tends to target cities like this where you have a general, more diverse population. And for your investigation check, Marzell, you notice... you notice a little bit of ink on his hands. He had just signed some paperwork. It's a very particular shade of blue. It's a very intense shade of indigo. And from your own past experiences, you know that shade of blue is used by something very squeaky.
What is happening?
Just an adorable shade of ink.
Right? You know that it is used by a very excitable dog. It is...
Oh, I can't put that back in jail.
Right. No, it's... it is used by antiquity dealers, ones who are licensed by the Antiquities Guild specifically, or an Antiquities Dealing Guild. So he's just... It would suggest that he's completed a recent transaction, or he's visited someone in the antiquities department recently. But it is the kind that is only used by the antiquities dealers because it does have some properties that allow it to be traced. God, I hope I didn't just mess up my game. But yeah, that's all.
All right.
So, are we working on the assumption that this guy looks like the guy in the bottle, or that we have no idea what he looks like?
Correct. We, as far as we know, he...
Which one is correct?
Both, yes.
It's me. I'm Felix.
If you see... You're right. If you see him... If you see a man who looks like Hefler on the street, it would behoove you to take him into custody. And... To our knowledge, that's how Felix works. He bottles one person at a time, he impersonates them, and he seems to have a particular draw towards spending other people's money. So he's not a get-your-hands-dirty kind of criminal.
Marzell's going to sort of put Hefler back on the desk, give him back to Rockwell, then ask, what's the nicest hotel in town?
The nicest hotel in town. That would be one that I'm about to make up. It is the Hotel Alta. I can verify that we did warn them ahead of time to keep an eye out for anyone matching the description of Howfler, which hopefully they have not used as an excuse to be racist towards orcs, but the jury's still out on that one. But yes, they are on alert. We've also given a heads up to several of the luxury item dealers, places where we suspect he would show up, to give us a notice if they see him. So we will have, those leads will come in if we get them.
And then Marzell's going to sort of think on it again and just ask, his forgery's good?
It looks like it took him a couple tries to get the license correct, but he does seem to be improving. And when we've dealt with him in the past, he's had his paperwork very much in order, so I would suspect that he is exceptional at forging. But I'm sure, since this is not too far off from someone in your party's business, you may be able to see through it. One of
Nina's
you may be.
Nina's eyebrows nearly disappear into her hairline as she looks around at the rest of you.
What if all of us are impersonators?
Trust no one. The truth is out there.
Marzell's just full of opinions. Has the Antiquities Guild been notified?
They have, to some degree. We have notified them that if anyone attempts to present Heffler's documentation, they should let us know immediately. But they seem oddly taciturn regarding the manner.
Did they say what he'd already signed?
No, and when we inquired as to what could have brought Heffler into town, they... Let's just say they shouldn't be near a zone of truth. They did not seem to be very cooperative.
Can we borrow about 5 of those?
zones of truth?
Yes.
Yes, let me just... I don't have those on hand.
Marzell's just going to sort of turn back to the rest of the group now.
The game is afoot!
It's elementary, my dear fellow.
I have a question.
Prisoners.
Yes.
Why do you think he's too hard for us to catch?
I wouldn't say that he's too difficult for you to catch at present with this lead, but it did take us a good 5 years to track him down.
He was hard for them to catch. That's
well, I don't know if you've noticed, but we're
and he doesn't
pretty awesome
that
at catching bad
us.
Guys.
Marzell just sort of makes a face.
Rockwell does not look like he's experiencing a lot of confidence right now.
Can't so disappoint Nina our grump dad.
Clears her throat lightly. Which one of you is it? Oh, don't be shy. You need to be the one to take point on this.
Marzell just sort of sighs and says, I wasn't this bad.
Lord Rockwell coughs behind you and he says, if you're going to have personal discussions, please take it outside.
We ignore him and start having a personal discussion in his office.
No emotions in this place.
Lord Rockwell says, I will have the guard escort you outside unless you have any further questions regarding this case.
Marzell just raises her hand one last time.
Yes.
Is he human? Are you sure?
As far as we know, yes, he is a human. We were able to find some information. His name is again Felix Tidling. And actually, if you guys are curious, roll a history check for me. I think that this would fall under history because it's kind of general.
Okay, who's rolling it? Is everybody rolling it?
If you want,
I'm rolling it. Okay, I just rolled a 21.
Nice.
Marzell's 18.
So this is a relatively simple one. Anyone who rolls over 10, you recognize Tidling to be a name from the Cross, which is the continent to the north, or it's a location in the continent to the north of Ariel.
Hmm.
Do they speak common up there?
They do. And, I mean, Felix, there's no knowing how many languages Felix speaks, probably a lot, but common is one of the languages they speak.
Do you know if he's impersonated an orc before?
Oh, absolutely. No, this is not his first rodeo on any front.
Well, who else speaks orc? Marzell just sort of looks around at everyone.
We do, I mean...
I should, just to
answer the question that hasn't really been asked, he's going to speak common. Heffler all of his business associates that we could reach out to spoke a variety of languages and assured us that he did business in multiple languages. So he was a very talented man before he was put into a bottle, and perhaps we should prevent that from happening to anyone else. Hmm?
Can he put more than one person into a bottle at a time?
Can he put Marzell into a bottle and just let me sleep?
Yes, you all could go back to playing sardines in the fortress, or we could actually catch a thief.
I was having a great time playing sardines.
I'm sure that you were.
Having a great time. I was.
Great. If we're done here... before I forget, you have up to a week to catch Felix, but I will need you to check in with a guard at least once per day for the purposes of simplicity, let's say by sundown.
Yes, Father.
All right, everybody out.
Ellie shoves her hands in her pockets and just bolts out in silence.
Corrin waves goodbye and says, see you later.
Marzell just
Nina
sort of
wanders out as well.
As she's wandering out, just goes again, I really wasn't this bad. This isn't comparable. And leaves.
I think, is that everybody?
I think.
All right.
Nolan leaves too. Awkwardly, after standing there for like 3 seconds too long and being the only person in the room.
He immediately like just slams the door shut behind all of you.
Why does he even have a door?
He's such a sweetheart.